Review code provided by Andrew Kennedy. I'm Jared.
I'm Marcus.
Level with us. Hello, and welcome to the show where we have a cozy video game discussion every week. This week, we're spotlighting a new indie title that just came out called CARL, C-A-R-L. It's an acronym, but we'll get into that later. This game was made by Andrew Kennedy, a.k.a. Nintendrew on YouTube, and published by Morningstar Game Studio. And if you know me, you know I'm a big fan of small, passionate teams that make games, and Andrew, in particular, Nintendrew, is someone I really admire. He's the one who kind of got me into game collecting. I've followed his channel for a while, and it's just so cool to see someone who loves games and loves collecting games finally throwing their hat in and making a game themselves. So big props for that, and a big thank you to him for sending us a review code personally. If you remember, we had Nintendrew on our show as the very first testimonial, I guess, on our Paper Mario the Thousand Year Door retrospective.
That's right. Yeah.
Which was super, super cool. We're excited to talk about this game today. So the name CARL doesn't really imply very much about what the game is about. So could you give us a quick rundown on what kind of game this is, Marcus?
Yeah, for sure. CARL is a robot. This is a side-scrolling 2D platformer where you're navigating an underground junkyard and shooting up other robots, and the end.
Great summary. It's a platformer. It's kind of almost like...
It's an action platformer.
Yeah, right? That's a better way of putting it, an action platformer. You know, well-timed jumps are important, but so is blasting baddies and upgrading your weapons throughout the course of the game. The game has a main hub called the Dump, and then several levels that you can get to, and you unlock new abilities over the course of the game. So I was actually almost going to compare it to a Metroidvania just a little bit. Not in that this is a huge interconnected world that you need to learn the ins and outs of, but in that each level is very windy and twisty. It's not go from point A to point B, you know, from left to right across the screen. These are maps that you have to navigate and find three pieces of tech in each level before making your way back to the finishing platform, which I think works fairly well. It's kind of fun that, especially later in the game, the levels get a little crazier. They kind of break their own genre a little bit with some kind of horror-inspired levels and some very puzzly levels as well.
Gotcha. Yeah, I would. The game that I would compare this one to most closely is Mutant Muds, which is also a pixel art 2D action platformer.
Yeah, it kind of gave me vibes of that game as well. I didn't really put it into thoughts until just now, but you're absolutely right. Another game which I have not played, unfortunately, that this game says it takes inspiration from, at least on the Steam page, is Cave Story, which I think also kind of fits that genre.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I think overall, I was very pleased with this game. Start to finish, it's not super long, but, you know, I actually really like short games. The level design is pretty fantastic, especially in the later half, I think. And also, the boss battles are pretty fun, too. But they were a little easy for me, mostly because I was very meticulous and upgraded a whole bunch. So I just kind of melted them with like missiles. I don't know about you. What'd you think about the difficulty?
Yeah, so I occasionally died. I thought it was a pretty good difficulty level, but I'm also coming off of playing games, you know, like these tough as nails Metroidvanias and Elden Ring and stuff like that. Yeah, just so compared to those games, it's a lot breezier, and that's kind of refreshing. So, you know, like there are a few squirrely jumps to make, but in general, it's not terribly difficult to get around the stage.
I think you can tell when a game is made by someone who cares. I think Andrew definitely cares about this game. He cares about Carl. It's not gonna blow anyone's mind. It's a pretty simple platformer at heart, but it has heart, and that shows through, which I like. I think the fun chiptune music was also quite enjoyable.
Yeah, for sure. I do love me a good 8-bit soundtrack.
Well, I do have a few things I want to talk about as far as things this game could improve on, but we have to start, of course, with star pieces. This is the part of the show where we highlight a detail or something we generally liked about the game. For me, it's I think I talked about EQ filters on this show before. I don't remember the context. Do you remember what game it was about?
Nope. No, but I know what you're about to talk about now.
Oh, well, at the start of each level, the music starts and it's kind of tinny. It kind of sounds like this. And then Carl puts his headphones on and then it sounds like this. And it kind of, brings you into, I don't know, I like the music being diegetic. It was always like, in the original The World Ends With You, it was always my headcanon that Neku was listening to whatever music was playing in the game in his headphones. So,
right.
Just a nice little, tiny little detail. It's not really a hidden detail per se, but it's one that I really enjoyed.
I had a feeling you'd pick that one. I still picked it anyway.
That's
but
fine.
I had a backup because as an audio person, I had a feeling that you would also enjoy that little thing. It's so small. But when you talk to someone, you hold up to talk to them, and your character hops to a reasonable talking distance away from them. And after playing Lost in Play, where there are certain things where once you interact with them, you actually like walk 5 feet away and then interact with them, because the animation needs to be a certain distance. And there are games like this one, like Carl, where, you click to talk to someone and you're like standing on top of their sprite, basically. So an extremely small detail, but it was quick and helpful to like, once you talk to them, the little guy goes right next to them from wherever you're standing.
I think it's nice as well. That's the little things that really add up in the end. And the same could be said for quick jabs. And jab. This is where we talk about something we didn't like about the game, but not for very long. And for me, my quick jabs really came into play towards the end of the game. The game has checkpoints throughout each level, and if you die, you reset at the checkpoint. And respawning generally is pretty quick. It's kind of like Celeste, I'd say. The music doesn't stop, your character just reappears and you go again, which is great. It kind of gives you the motivation to keep going. But at the end of the game, there are a few very particular sequences that are really, really long, unbroken chains of tough-as-nails platforming. And I had, lots of health. I had upgraded my health a whole bunch, but these were, instant death spikes everywhere. One in particular, you have to get the timing just right. You have to double tap left or right multiple times to get through this windy instant death spike maze. And I just kept dying and dying, and it must have taken me at least 20 or 30 minutes. I finally did get through it, but I just kind of wished there had been a mid-checkpoint in that one. Same with at the very end. There's also kind of a final action sequence right before the final boss. And it's also several minutes long, and there are also instant death spikes, and there are no checkpoints. I beat the game. It's not like it's too difficult or anything, and I like a good amount of challenge for sure. It just felt a little too punishing to spend way more time than I wanted to on these very specific moments. Does that make sense?
Yeah, video games generally with difficulty.
It's hard to nail down. I know.
Right, whenever there's a linear path, you don't know exactly what's going to get players stuck, but it can absolutely be so crushing or annoying, or even just like turn you off from the experience when it's the exact same thing every time that's stopping your progress. Yeah. So, I didn't get far enough to get stuck like that. So
that's fine.
Yeah, my quick jab is just with the character animation. There's no animation on the top half of the robot's body. He just has one hand kind of like a tea kettle at his side, and there isn't any bob up and down. I'm sure that this was an intentional decision because his legs make a cute little sound effect as he goes, but the fact that there is absolutely no upper body motion during his walking specifically during walking, not like jumping or his idle, but like while walking, it's completely stationary, and that makes the sprite kind of feel lifeless. So maybe a preference, but that was my quick jab.
Totally. I do wonder if there had been more animation, if that would help sell like the momentum better, you know? I wonder if seeing the wind up, if that would at all make platforming easier or harder, or if it wouldn't have made a difference. So I think that's completely fair. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, I do think it was intentional. I think it looks really silly just seeing his little feet go tap, 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 tap everywhere he goes. I think it's right. Kind of charming in that way.
Yeah, but I think even like having his arms swing to the side, you know, like drag a little bit behind him or something like that, I feel like he could have just added a little something there to give him a little more character, a little more personality.
Yeah, but fair enough. That brings us to our fan favorite segment, Who's the Fake Fan?
Fake Fan.
This is where Marcus and I test each other with nerdy trivia questions about the game we played, or loosely related at least. You probably saw this coming, Marcus. I bet you can guess what
acronyms.
My question is. That is right.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. Here's the thing. Here's the catch.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to ask you a few acronyms, but if you can come up with a better acronym, I'm just going to give you the point.
You know, in preparation for this episode, I was going to like just learn every single acronym because I was confident that this is low-hanging fruit. I was like...
For a quiz question?
He's at least going to ask me what Carl is, but the fact that this game also has a Sarge and every character has dots in between the letters, guess what? I didn't do it. I didn't study, so now I'll just be making up a bunch of acronyms.
Well, that's great this time. This one time, this is something that doesn't require knowledge. You can just be creative and tell me a good acronym. And if I know it's subjective, but if you come up with a good one, I'm just going to give the point to you. Is that fair?
Awesome.
Do you think that's fair?
Yes, sure.
Perfect.
Let's
start with Carl.
Creepy automaton really lurks. I'll try again.
Yeah.
I'm hearing your hesitancy.
No,
you're making some mouth noises. So let me try again. Courageous automata. Requisitions life force.
Ooh, I'm gonna give you a golf clap on that one. I think that was great. A point for you, Marcus.
Hooray.
The actual acronym is Computer Automated Resource Locator, for those of you who are wondering. It's in the title. Okay, moving on, we have the hub world for this game, the dump.
It even shows you what this acronym is on screen, but do I remember it? No, sir. Derelict Underground Machinery Portal.
Another point for you. I also like that you're coming up with very similar words, but so far I don't think you've reused any words that are here. Like resource locator, you did like requisition.
Life force.
So like, that was great. I'm giving it to you. The actual acronym is the Depot of Unusable Machines and Parts.
So I guess machinery
was similar. But so yeah, I really liked your take on that one as well. Okay, one more. This is the bartender who works in the little cafe / arcade. His name is Bart. B-A-R-T.
Bart, Art, Rart, Tart. Just joking.
Is that your final answer?
No, but I do think acronyms are funny that use the word of the acronym as the first letter of the acronym. The first one's got to be like a bar. The second one is going to be his function. Bart's actually really trying. Is his name
Bart? Bart's actually really trying.
It's meta. It's pretty
Marcus,
meta, but that's correct.
That's pretty stupid.
You're not gonna give me the point?
No, I'll give it to you. It's whatever. I'll give it to you. It's fine. I mean, you got 2 out of 3, so sure, why not? Let's give you the third one as well. Bart is the beverage and refreshment technician.
Of course.
How could you not think of beverages?
Dang.
Well done. This was a good creative exercise. It was fun seeing you come up with... See, I like, you know, making you annoyed and coming up with questions that are really difficult, but I like more giving you challenges and seeing you overcome them through sheer grit and creativity and not just, oh, I didn't play that part or whatever.
Thanks. I do appreciate that. I think in general, I have most enjoyed our who's the fake fan questions that involve some aspect of creativity, either on the question giver or the question answerer.
No, totally. So,
very fun. Well, you ready for yours?
Absolutely.
We left off in a perfect place to pick up with this next one because the beverage and refreshment technician at the Robo Bar has a series of delicious beverages for Carl to drink. And I was just curious here, which of these drinks would you want to drink if you wanted to turn green?
Okay.
Do you want hard mode or easy mode? Because hard mode is I won't tell you the fruit flavors that are part of their names because that gives away colors.
You'll just give the rest of it?
Yeah.
Yeah, or let's do hard mode. Why not?
All right. If you want to turn green, do you want rocket fuel, blinker fluid, thermal paste, brake juice, or grease?
I regret this.
Are you sure you don't want to switch to...
I severely regret this.
Let's do it the other way.
Give you a guess, and if I get it wrong, we can go eat baby mode for baby Jared.
All right, baby mode comes next. Okay. Sure.
Let's go with grease. I think it's grease.
It's not grease.
Okay. Yeah, let's do easy difficulty, please.
All right. If you want to turn green, do you want to drink some... Oh, but by the way, when I'm talking about turning colors, for someone who may not play the game who's listening, these are ways that you can change your skin, like your appearance, depending on which of these you drink. Do you want to drink raspberry rocket fuel, banana blinker fluid, tropical thermal paste, blueberry brake juice, or grape grease?
Okay, so it's the tropical thermal paste.
It is. Yay! Hooray for Jared.
Baby mode.
Baby mode.
I'm going to include a baby sound effect.
Hey, I realized after I read them that it was more difficult than I thought because, like, rocket fuel and brake juice and blinker fluid, like, what's the distinction here? There's no indication of color. So.
I mean, thermal liquid kind of sounded right, but I was like, oh, thermal might be, like, red or something.
Well, they're all
know?
Alliterations of whatever... the fruity flavor is so without the
oh
fruit.
I don't know if that would have helped actually.
there is one more beverage. Do you know what the last beverage is?
Just plain water, right?
You
just
can water. Drink water, correct?
And he refuses. He's like, that's gonna make you short out, buddy. No thanks.
Oh really? I've never
yeah he doesn't it. you can't drink water. He won't let you.
That's really funny. Cool. Well, I still call that a win, even though it was a loss.
Oh, thanks, Marcus, I guess. Very fun. Final thoughts on Carl. Obviously, if you couldn't tell, like, I was very excited for this game. I've been following Andrew for a long time now. When he announced he was making a game, I was just over the moon about it. Not necessarily because I felt like this game was going to be groundbreaking, but because I loved seeing a creator I admired going out there and doing something they hadn't really done much of before. And it gives me hope that hopefully at some point we can maybe make a game or make some other kind of experiment or experience that we might not be our college undergrad, but is still something we're proud of. So I quite liked this game. I think it's not going to blow anyone's minds, but if you're looking for just a fun little diversion of an indie game, or if you like Nintendrew, and I'll include his channel in the description, I recommend following him. It's well worth a play.
Nice. Darn, we missed the chance to make a game this time, because it'd be fun to be like, it's cool to see a creator make a game. Speaking of...
This would be a very good segue, absolutely.
Not yet, but someday.
Yeah.
I'm totally committed to maybe someday. Yeah, I agree with everything you said. I think that you summed it up very nicely. Shall we jump into rabbit holes?
Let's. This is the part of the show where we get to recommend something, and we've got a really special shared rabbit hole this week that I had the pleasure of working on, but really it was Marcus's brainchild. So I will turn the mic over to you.
Sure. I wrote a musical for radio, and it's been published as a podcast version as well. It's called Silk and Swenson, and it's just an old Western little romp. It's like 20 minutes long, featuring Jared Richardson as Wesley Lockjaw the Outlaw.
Wesley Lockjaw.
Yep, that one. And it was a lot of fun to make, and Jared said I should plug it here, and I'm happy to share with people. I'm actually really...
It needs to be heard.
It's definitely something where I was like, man, when this comes out, I won't shut up about it, at least for a little while, because it's one of those, like, I made a thing, and it's a pretty good thing. So... I don't know how to pitch it, I guess, besides saying, like, you know, if you like musicals, give it a try. Maybe give it a listen. It's short.
Just like our podcast, it's good for all ages. I think it's quite enjoyable. Marcus came up with some really cool music for it. It was also orchestrated by his friend and arranged very well. There's some great talent in there. There's like a patter song right at the beginning, which is pretty cool. And I had a heck of a ton of fun
playing an outlaw who talks down here.
I don't know if I'm accurately representing what I sound like in the episode, but it was cool to do some voice acting. That's something I've always dreamed of.
Yeah, and you did great.
Thanks. I would love to play a clip from it, but sadly we do not own the rights. So we will just include a link in the description and heavily suggest you click on it and listen to it and tell us what you thought about it.
Yeah, please.
All right. Well, thank you so much for joining me tonight, Marcus, and thank you to all of our listeners as well. We'll be back next week to spotlight another indie game, but until then, I'm Jared.
I'm Marcus.
And we will level with you then.
Hooray!